Heyo, gamers. I'm Chuck.
I'm Justin.
And this is
The Fold.
It's a quick introduction. I'm a casual gamer.
Mm-hmm.
I have no background with MOBAs.
But you do have background with other games.
Yeah, I've played games, dude, forever.
Right.
Long time.
Right.
Like many moons. Long in the tooth. Many moons have passed since young man pick up controller, play game. I've played video games. I've played board games. I've always played game. Gaming has always been a big part of my life. And now I find myself playing a MOBA.
And this is your very first MOBA ever.
It is my first MOBA ever. Vainglory.
And you were like super hooked on it.
I love this game.
Right.
It's by Super Evil Megacore.
Yep.
I love that company.
Me too.
I do. I mailed them my wallet the other day.
Did you?
Yep. I just pulled it out of my pocket and stuck it in an envelope and sent it to them.
That's not good.
So here you go. Take it. It's yours. It's everything in it. Here's the keys to the house.
Blank check.
Everything. Yep. There you go.
Wonderful.
And I said, thank you.
Nice. Yep. Nice.
I haven't heard back yet.
I do come from a MOBA background.
You've played MOBAs before. You've also played games though forever.
I have.
Mostly video games.
Yep.
Some board games the last few years. I've dragged you into that.
Hey, it's my cool. My intro.
We love board games. I'm doing your intro too. I'm just talking. It's really just one person. And I'm doing both voices.
That's fine. It's like I'm not even here. Yep. No, I come from a background. I've been playing games my whole life too. Most of them video games. You and I have done board games for how many years now?
Yeah, it's been about 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, love them. Euros and all that good stuff. Ameritrash. Yeah. We love them. Love board games.
And some of the themes apply to this game. Some of the mechanics.
Absolutely.
Economics.
Absolutely. Yep.
But you're the MOBA guy. How long have you been playing MOBAs?
I've been playing MOBAs for probably around four years now-ish.
Yeah, right.
And so I love it. I mean, like, when I say playing MOBA, I mean, like, on the daily. Like, I tell some of my friends, we go on vacation for, like, a week or so, and at the end of the week, I got itches. Like, I got ants crawling all over me.
You're going through withdrawals.
Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've been a big help for me with Vainglory. Explaining some of the details to me, how to play a MOBA.
God, you know, like, trying to explain a MOBA, it's just, because MOBAs have so many moving parts and so many things that are on the surface you can see, but there's, for every one thing you see on the surface, there's a billion things that you can't see of what's going on.
A lot of subtlety.
There's so much subtlety. So, yeah. And I apologize, I feel so bad. Because if
tried to get me to play one of the big ones.
Oh, and that was a huge mistake. But when Vainglory came out, I still there were a lot of things that I guess like were made much more clear to me because I knew where they were coming from my other MOBA experiences.
So you kind of poo-pooed it a little bit.
What do you mean by poo-pooed? define poo-pooed for
you
me.
You dismissed it as somehow less than like a big game.
No. Well, hold on.
Initially.
Hold on.
And for a beat.
Because when you play one MOBA and there's another one out there, you do want to see how is it, you know, you do
how does it stack up?
You want to test those waters, see how it stacks up, but you always kind of have a special place in your heart
sure. For
where you come from, right?
Right.
And what you're good at.
Right.
So when it came to VG, I was like, oh. Yeah.
And they didn't try, so here's the interesting thing to me, the great thing. I don't think they're trying to compete with the big PC games.
It's its own game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. They built their own engine. It's its own game. It exists on MOBA. This is a legit hardcore game.
Well, and I think
on MOBA,
very much so. And I feel like a big part of this too is that it stands out and it stands alone because of it's on mobile, right? iOS and also for Android as well.
Yeah. So this game has an easier entry curve. We've talked about this before.
It's worth mentioning though. Again, though,
it is easy entry curve. Easy entry level. You can get into it and start to understand it. But make no mistake, this is a hardcore game.
Right.
This game has depth. Now, that being said, we are casual gamers.
Yeah.
Right? We're not competing at the highest level in this game.
Absolutely not.
I lose more games than I win. I still log in. I have a great time with this game.
Yeah.
I find it extremely challenging. I find it beautiful to look at. It has depth every minute of every game, there's tactical decisions that I need to make that will determine the outcome of how my game goes.
Right.
There's lots to analyze and talk about. Hence the podcast. Right?
Ta-da!
So.
However, on the surface, though, first getting to the game, it's like, oh, like there are minions. you know, there are points in the game, boom, minion mines pop up. I want to go get that. I want to, oh, there are camps in the drone. Do you know what I mean? Like,
and then as you play it more, and we've talked about this, you find out maybe it's not the best time to get that. Maybe right. I should wait. Maybe
or how
I should
pause. Like,
right.
You know, like, oh, at the 6 minute mark, I should be level six.
Yeah. And I think, like, I mean, it's still getting revealed to me, this game. The more I play it, the more things I see, the more depth and levels and
the more you play it, you have much more eye opening moments.
Right.
Right.
And it sometimes becomes more frustrating because of that, because I feel like I know I should be doing it this way and I just can't make my
right.
fingers do the right thing. Right. So there's some of that too.
Yeah.
So
it's a great game.
That's us. That's the game we talk about.
Yeah.
And we try to do it in a casual way. And we thank you for signing in and listening to us.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. We love the listeners. The community's been great.
I wonder what your MOBA experience is, Mr. Listener.
Yeah, whether that's a not, good question.
Whether or not this is your first MOBA. Because you know what's funny? When I see people posting, I see people posting that, hey, this is my first time playing a game like this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think I read somewhere about, you know, sort of the, you know, take the new dad who doesn't have a lot of time with work and the new baby and maybe used to play a lot of video games with his buddies and just doesn't have the time for it. But at night, when everybody's gone to bed, he can play, you know, a 20-minute MOBA
right.
on iOS, and you get that depth and that feel that wasn't there before.
Right.
And I mean, you know, that's a great demographic to hit, you know, sort of, because I fall into that aging gamer, right? Like, I'm kind of a little bit older than most. So this fits that for me. You know, for me to be able to jump on in between my busy work schedule and my personal life to right. play a couple games of Vainglory, it's easier than getting on the Xbox and trying to play Call of Duty for 3 hours.
Right, right.
You know, so it's an interesting market. It's an interesting model. We're both excited. We're both excited to see where it goes.
Yes.
It seems at every turn they're amazing. They're making amazing decisions and amazing reveals, and we get more and more excited as it goes.
It opens the gates for what other companies might do as well. Yeah. You know, very cool stuff.
And we hope that we're helping the community get a little bit better, and you guys can learn along with me and Justin as we kind of reveal this game.
Absolutely.
So what are we going to talk about today?
So say we're going to kind of dive right in, like we usually do. But...
Cannonball to the deep end.
Yep.
All right.
Drop
I always hold my nose.
Okay.
I don't like water in my nose.
Today we're going to talk about how to focus in a team fight.
Focusing in a team fight.
Very important.
I have no idea what that means.
So what do you think focus means?
What's a team fight? Let's break it down all the way.
Well, team fights, I guess, typically you can say is a 3v3 for sure. Vainglory. So like full team versus full team.
Let's do that for our discussion.
Of course, of course.
3v3.
Yeah.
So it's when you guys meet in front of the Kraken or up in the lane.
Yep.
Big fight.
Yep. And generally what happens is either A, one person initiates the fight, or B, somebody gets caught.
Sure, caught out.
And there are two. Those are two very different and very important things.
Very. You don't want to be caught out.
Absolutely. You don't want to be spun up, fully spun up as Saw, and have someone run right up at you, and you cannot get away.
Or have all three of them run up to you.
Yeah, because you're caught out.
Yeah.
So let's start off with initiating first.
Okay. What does initiate mean?
Well, so there are a lot of heroes in Vainglory that have the ability to initiate a team fight. Krull is one. His Dead Man's Rush, his A, lets him dash to the hero target or a target that he clicks on, right?
Yep.
So it's a gap. There are initiating abilities that are gap closers.
I also think his ultimate.
Absolutely. Is an initiator. Yeah. Thank you. Absolutely. Catherine's stun.
Is initiator.
Is by all means is a team fight initiator.
Sure.
Arden's Gauntlet. I initiate more team fights with Arden's Gauntlet
absolutely.
Than I think any other
that may
ability
be
ever.
The defining initiator.
Yes.
Right? I mean, if you want like a classic initiating move.
I would say so.
That's it.
Right.
I mean, it's awesome when you pull it off in a different scenario, running away or use it defensively. But it's mainly you see it dropped for initiation.
Exactly.
Okay.
There are other heroes, though, like Petal, that don't have initiators off the bat. You know, like her Munion explosions aren't going to initiate team fights. There might be items like Frostburn that are going to slow them down and make it an initiator. But off the bat, there's not a move that those heroes have that is a true initiating team fight.
So I'm thinking, as I'm thinking through, the two laners that I think initiate, they're not great. And I don't think any of the laners in this game are great initiators.
Because they have different roles, right?
Right, they do. But I think that Ringo, with his ultimate, can initiate because it's a burst damage right away. It's not the best. These aren't best. And I think Celeste can initiate with her ultimate.
Oh.
If you know they're in the bush, you throw that out there.
So actually, you know, this is actually kind of cool. So you and I have two different defining ways of initiating a team fight.
So it's like we have a podcast.
Well, because you're saying about how doing burst flat out damage to chunk them down, that's how you define.
Well, that's one way you can initiate.
Right.
I mean, I think obviously, you know, Ringo's not going to run up and stun somebody and initiate them the way Krull would.
Yeah.
Or the way Catherine would, or the way Arden does. But I do think that if you alt their carry, you've put your team in a better position. And the same with Celeste.
I'm going to go on a very, very small tangent here, because that's actually really important. So it's funny, I was watching somebody play Vainglory a little while ago, and we've talked about it sometimes too, but sometimes a Ringo will ult a half health or full health target, and we kind of, at one point in time, we laughed and we're like, that was a waste of an ult. Why would you do that? You didn't kill me. I'm now half health or one quarter health.
And that's why.
But you didn't kill me. But you know what? What does that do to me? I'm now at a half health or quarter health. I now can't stick around for that team fight. Or if I do, I'm putting a very high risk to myself to getting killed,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. So that's why I'm saying as laners, I feel like those two initiate better than, I mean, I guess Scarf can initiate with his alt, but I feel like the other two are better initiators.
Yeah. Or at the very least, they deny you the ability to comfortably stick around for that team fight, right?
So the goal in the team fight, obviously, is to go 3-0, right? Myself and two teammates alive, you three dead. I want the ace.
And maybe not so ideally, you know, it's a 2-for-1 exchange.
I will always take a 2-for-1.
Of course.
Always. 3-for-1, 2-for-1. 1-for-1's not crazy. 2-for-2's not crazy. You always want to lean in the advantage size. That's
right.
Why I think as laners, Celeste and Ringo can tip it that way.
Yeah, sure.
Yep.
So
we're on the same page.
Very, very valid standpoint here. However, you know, so we talked about the initiating abilities. What do you remember what I said? What was the other one?
You said Catherine.
Yeah.
You said Krull.
Yep.
Arden was the classic example.
Right. But there were two different types. One of them was initiating a team fight, and the other one was being caught out, right?
Caught out, yeah.
And caught out is super important because we've talked about it before, but positioning in this game is super important.
It's a small map.
It's small map, and there's some these are close quarters encounters, right?
Yep.
So being caught out, being just a little too close to enemy Catherine, or just a little too close whoever.
So I'll give you an example. Caught out. You throw up a flare. I get vision on the enemy team. Two are in the lane. One's at the jungle camp.
Shopping.
Where are we going?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Jungle camp, not jungle shop.
Where are we going?
We're
going
to go for the one that's isolated by themselves, right?
He's caught out.
Yeah.
We go down there 2v1 or 3v1. We've now tilted the game into our favor.
And now after that kill, now we know for the next X amount of seconds, 20, 30 seconds, it's now a 3v2.
Right.
And what's our job? Now we have the numbers advantage. Do we push the lane? Do we get Kraken? What do we do?
So at that point, yeah, I'm looking then for my engager, for my Catherine, for my Arden to go up and engage the two.
Right.
I want that 3v2.
Right.
Because we've isolated, we caught out that other opponent.
Yeah.
Which is why one of the tips on the menu screen or the loading screen talks about early game, you can kind of be alone. You know, no one's really powerful enough to kill you straight out. But late game, you better not get caught out alone.
Because we talk about it all the time, but dying late game is so detrimental to your team.
Yeah, you need to be a team late game.
For a game that's going to take 20 minutes, having a 50-second death timer is just huge, and it's brutal when it happens to you.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Right?
I mean, it's GG a lot of times.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful. Late game, you want to stay bunched up as a team and not get caught out.
Right.
So that's getting caught out, and that's initiating.
Yep. So let's go back to the actual fundamental part of the team fight, right? So let's say, for this example, a 3v3. Typically, what do you usually have in a team? You usually have one person who is the initiator of a team fight. You have another person who's supposed to do that raw, heavy damage. I usually describe it as an AD carry, an attack damage carry, or a crystal power carry.
Okay, so I say red, blue.
Right, like whoever's building red, whoever's building blue.
Yep.
But that person who, they're essentially the glass cannon. So
yep.
For this case, it's Celeste, Scarf, Ringo, Saw, the people who are going to melt under
damage.
They want
to stand in the back and
they,
just...
Right,
and
because
kill you with pure straight damage,
raw straight DPS damage per second. Right.
Yep.
Because they generally don't build defense. Although we see them a lot, but typically a lot of them don't build defense. I see a lot of Celeste build like 3 or 4 shatter glasses.
Yeah.
And like a bunch of Eve of Harvest.
They're
right.
They're just trying to overpower you.
Right. Because yep. Because that burst damage brings so much to the team fight. Right.
Agreed.
And then finally you have. The last person is kind of like that bruiser class hero who is going to be able to soak up damage while dealing a ton of damage themselves, right?
So in some of our definitions already, that bruiser class is also our initiator.
Yeah.
And the team comps you and I like,
yep.
That is the Arden, the Catherine. We'll usually do that.
Yep.
Then we'll look for our laner and our jungler to be the damage dealers.
Yes.
The carries.
One of my ideal teams is like Arden and Koshka and Celeste or Ringo or whoever as that laner, right?
Yep.
And in this scenario, for me, Arden is the initiator.
Yeah.
Like we said, with the classic gauntlet.
And the tank.
Yep, and the tank. Well, yeah, so being very beefy in that initiator and that tank class, right? Koshka being that bruiser. Koshka just deals. And when I jump in as Arden and Koshka's right there behind me.
It's a good feeling.
when I'm dashing to you with blood for blood and Koshka's right there to pounce right after me, it's so satisfying for me because I know that's we are working in sync as a team, right?
I give you a better example. Arden throws the gauntlet down to initiate. We do some damage. We mix it up in the middle. Gauntlet goes away. They start to run away. And now she alts for the stun.
Right.
As the enemy's trying to get away.
Yep.
With a Celeste or a Ringo or a Saw or a Scarf behind. To clean up. It is a nasty combo. I agree with you. That is one of my favorite teams. When I see that, I do get excited.
So when you can pull off those wombo combos, it's great.
Yep.
Now, however, your team, we mentioned how important team comps are. The team comp is also going to kind of like mitigate like how you're going to initiate a team fight. Because there have been times when I have like my team is full of 2 assassins and 1 laner. Or I have 3 assassins.
Yep.
So how you initiate a team fight is a lot different than what we just described.
Yeah, because it gets harder.
Because there's no one true meta of like what a team comp is or how a team fight is supposed to happen, right?
I play a lot of rando games.
Like
I try to make my team comp as effective as I can.
Right.
But sometimes it's just people auto-lock stuff and you end up with this funky, squishy, some sort of combination.
You and I used to actually play a lot of Catherine and Arden when Arden first came out.
Yep.
And we loved that combo because we had a reliable stun from Catherine, the stun from the gauntlet, and we just had a brick wall of tank, right?
Yeah.
And that was huge. And that, you know, also, so the team comps always change like that, you know?
Yeah. So, but also too, you, at that point, you were building Catherine very
sorrowfully,
offensively.
Sorrowfully, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think it was catching people off guard. Right, so we were tanking up Arden, building her as weapon power.
But I built Catherine with Sorrowblade and a little and Tension Bow and a little bit more damage because I wanted her to become that bruiser class,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
You know? So
she became kind of the jungle damage dealer.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
You know, so.
So what are some of the other things in team fights?
Ooh, I'm sorry. So I do want to talk about focusing in a team fight because for a lot of people, whether it's obvious or not, I do want to define it. Focusing in a team fight essentially means picking the target hero on the enemy team that you know that if you don't take care of right here and right now, your team is going to suffer by not taking them out first.
I want to back up for 1 second because you mentioned a term to me before, and I think it's important that we discuss this first, and that's peel.
Yes.
So if I'm, let me try to explain this.
Go for it. Yeah, go for it.
So if I'm Celeste and you're Arden, or I'm Koshka and you're Arden, I'm looking for you to engage, take those initial hits. And what I expect to have happen at that point is you're going to try and back out of that engagement. When you're backing out of that engagement is now when you're looking for me to come into that, engage that hero. So that hero has been fighting you. Now you're running away. They're fighting me. Now I peel and you go back in, right? This sort of in and out. Do I not have it right? You're shaking your head. No.
Sorry. No.
Okay, go ahead. Fix it.
Well, no. Well, you and I talk about tag in, tag out all the time, right?
Yeah, we do that a lot.
Because being able to, I soak up some of the damage, you jump in, you soak up some of the damage and do damage, and then we back and forth. That way, not one of us is dying and the other one's left by themselves, right?
Right.
Peeling, I'm going to go back to your example of Celeste and Arden, where if you're Celeste and I'm Arden and there's an enemy Koshka jumps on you to try to kill you and burst you down, assassinate you. My job as Arden is to jump on you, to protect you, to take the damage, to speed you up to get away by putting my shield on you, the Vanguard, mm-hmm. I believe it's called,
yep.
And get you away. That's me peeling for you, or
Catherine stun.
Yep. If I drop the gauntlet to prevent Koshka to get to you, I'm peeling for you,
right? Is allowing me to then apply damage to that.
To stay at a safe distance,
yep.
And also do damage, right?
Correct.
That's peeling.
Yep, okay.
But the tag in, tag out, and the peeling is very important.
They kind of works hand in hand.
They do, but they definitely do work hand in hand.
So the reason I wanted to mention peeling, and I did get it wrong, but was because I think before you can talk about who you're going to attack, you have to understand maybe what the opponent is doing to you.
Yes.
Defensively.
Yes.
Okay, so... Now go ahead and let's talk about targets.
So typically, whoever's in the lane, if they are one of those squishy glass cannon, whether they're a marksman...
That's your target.
yeah. Whether it's a Saw or whether it's a Ringo or a Celeste or a Scarf or whoever, they're the ones that... They're the glass cannons type, and they're going to fall very quickly, but they're going to do a ton of damage to you.
Usually from a distance.
Typically, that's your target because... If you've ever been on the on the not nice end of a Celeste ult,
yeah,
you know that having Celeste be alive is very bad for your team.
So let's be honest: if you're playing against Ringo, Arden, and Krull,
mm-hmm.
if Ringo goes down, the other two are going to have a little bit of trouble bringing down an entire team. Right. Arden's not really built to do that. Not that he can't. And I've seen some amazing Arden play.
Right,
I'm not saying
he
can't do it. What I'm saying is typically that's not his role.
Right.
And you can be a little bit less scared of him.
Now, there are games when Koshka is the one who's doing all of that DPS.
And you need to get her off the table.
You have to take her off the table right now. Yeah. Sometimes it's Taka. No matter who it is.
Sometimes, too, it's player skill. It's not necessarily character. Because I've certainly played Taka and gone 1-14.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm not very good with him. So
whether or not it's the weapon power carry or it's the crystal power carry, or sometimes it's... The person who's 18-2 right now,
yeah.
and they have a full build, and they're level 12,
right.
and you guys are level 10, and you're half build.
Yep.
Sometimes it's them. You got to take them. They're so far ahead of you that they're going to melt you regardless of their role.
Let me throw another wrinkle. If their tank is engaging improperly too early or not allowing his carries to be there, and your team has a chance to focus the tank down... A lot of times those carries are in big trouble without that shield in front of them.
Yes.
So
right.
another stratagem would be to attack that tank.
We have so many layers going on right here. It's actually kind of it's hard to keep track because that's important too. However, there are times when if it's an enemy Catherine who is that tank role and you're like, oh, we kill her and it paves the way for this ace and you can't kill her.
Yes.
And then she leads you back to their teammates.
But this gets back to your initial comment about focus.
Right. Who do you focus?
So as a team, there's communication tools in this game. You can say, this team fight, let's get Catherine.
Right.
Because if we get her, you know, Ringo and Celeste go down easy.
It's actually funny. It's because team fights are all about the mind game of it. It's all about, okay, if we want to focus down someone like a Catherine, can we kill Catherine in the next 10 seconds? Because if you don't,
yeah,
you're probably going to lose a team fight. Team fights do not have, they don't last.
I don't think they last 10 seconds. So you better kill her quicker than that. No, I'm talking about a three-man focus on one hero.
Like,
will usually melt. We say melt like that. You just melted.
Your
health bar just melts. So that will usually melt.
So knowing how much damage that you can do with your build and your abilities, how much damage your teammates can do, and their build and where they are right now in the game. Do they have energy?
Energy.
Do they have?
You're really good at that. I hardly ever notice, and you'll tell me a lot. Like engage. He's got no energy.
Got full health, but he has no. has no energy.
That's a big deal.
And that's you because you can. They're not going to be able to do any of that. Any of those threats right back to you.
Yeah.
So we are so lost. But there are so many parts to a team fight.
That's why we decided to talk about it.
Right.
So when we say focus,
we're talking about focusing the one who,
like all three heroes of the team applying damage to one focused person.
Now, and I want to thank you for getting us back on track. Now what I want to do is the other two teammates that they have, their job is to protect that person. Right?
You mean if you're on the receiving end of this focus?
No. If the three of you are attacking a team,
yep,
and the three of you decide they have a Ringo, we're gonna go for Ringo. Their other two teammates, their job is to protect that Ringo.
Yes.
Right? So if it's Catherine, they want to get up in our face, stun us, silence us, have us soak up all the damage. They want us to turn onto her.
You know what I'm thinking about? Way back when the PAX East, that glaive against Scarf.
And remind us what this glaive was doing.
Every time Scarf went into his alt, glaive's rocket axed and stunned him. Stunned him out of it.
Interrupted his alt.
Every time.
Right.
It must have happened 6 times that game.
Right.
That was his job.
Right.
I mean, I think we've talked about it before. He came off of an easy kill to turn around and stun Scarf animation that was starting.
Because he knows that if he doesn't take care of Scarf, it's going to spell trouble for him and his teammates, right?
Yeah, so it was great play and it was amazing to watch, but that's an example of what you're talking about. That's Glaive's job in that game. He interrupted that. He peeled for his damage carries.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Okay. That's still online too. You can find that at YouTube Casual for Vainglory.
Sure. Yep. So having that one in a team fight, knowing who to focus, knowing, because it's funny too, I see all the time people say, or people will ping, oh, we're gonna take out that Ringo or take out that Celeste, and then all of a sudden halfway and then all of a sudden halfway through they start throwing auto attacks and damage onto the enemy Catherine instead. And it's funny because it's so easy to get caught up where if Catherine just walks right up to you and she's closer to you and that Celeste or whoever the hell that they were trying to focus is running away, well, they're going to switch their focus.
Yeah.
But that's bad. Knowing when to switch your focus.
You just help the enemy team.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
My least favorite thing is to go into a team fight and my three teammates were all attacking different people.
Because what does that do?
Nothing happens. Yeah, and if they're focused, they're going to kill all three of us.
And it's funny because you might consistently win every team fight of the game, but one bad team fight one bad team fight, somebody gets caught out. You have bad focus. People don't target the same people.
And it's going to happen, right? I mean, I've been heading into the jungle to help Justin out with something, and I go left around a bush instead of right, and because I went left, I'm caught out. I come into the team fight in the wrong direction or the wrong side, or I come into the same side as the enemy, and my two teammates are now out of position. Lots of things. It's going to happen.
Right? Yeah,
You need to be conscious of them and aware of them, and that's map awareness again, but you're going to get caught out.
Right.
So everybody does. You know, and it's the worst feeling because you feel like you've let your team down. And what happens if one of your teammates gets caught out is you need to retreat to a safe position.
making sure, because we say all the, it's funny because you and I will be playing games together and we say all the time, we can't, oh crap, one of us got caught, we can't get aced here, back off.
Back off.
Back
you
off.
You can't have the ace. You just no. can't. No, yeah, no. It's too important not to. So that's interesting. Do you have more to say?
There's so much more to say, and I apologize. I feel like I didn't do it justice.
I feel like we covered a lot of good stuff.
There's so many intricate parts of team fights where like
let's just say that there's a lot of intricate parts to this whole game.
The whole game
it reminds me of the Little Rascals. It may choke alfalfa. No, what is it? Yeah, artichoke. It may choke Artie, but it's not going to choke alfalfa. You ever see that episode?
God, no.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to leave it at that. I'm Chuck.
I'm Justin.
Wait. Where can they find us?
Everywhere.
All over the internets. We're on Twitter.
We're on iTunes.
At thefoldpodcast.com. We have our own website.
Yep. Thefoldpodcast.com.
We're on iTunes, SoundCloud, Facebook.
Yep.
You can find us everywhere. Yes. I'm Chuck.
I'm Justin.
And this is The Fold.